Dave Archer joins us on Wednesdays at 11:40. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. What's up, Arch?
Well, I'm just a little surprised that a guy that's got children and doesn't know anything about foreplay. I'm a little surprised about that.
But, my wife.
Maybe Randy. Maybe you can take a segment and Randy can explain that to you.
Nobody more disappointed than my wife in the way that segment started. Hey, let's talk about what Kirk Cousins, because we haven't talked to you since last Wednesday, obviously, and they played Thursday night, so it's a while ago, but still the most recent game and very impressive. What stood out most about what Kirk Cousins did in that incredible performance on Thursday night?
Yeah, just the anticipation, Andy. And he talked about it after the game. You guys had the cut. I think you guys have probably played it. He was disappointed in himself. I don't think there was a lot of – he's not a finger pointer anyway, but there was not a lot of discussion about guys around him. The first 4 weeks of the season, he was talking about things that he needed to do better. And some of that was anticipating. Well, Randy will tell you that a lot of that comes with learning the idiosyncrasies of your players, the little hints they give you at the top of the routes, their body language, things like that allow you to anticipate throws. But I thought this was one of those moments, and certainly the numbers would indicate it, that this is one of those nights where, like, Jordan hit all those threes and shrugged at the crowd like, I don't know, man, they're just all going in. I mean, that was the kind of night he was having, because his anticipation throws, those in cuts inside those linebackers or finding guys up the seam, he was seeing it a count early or two counts early, and anybody that's thrown the football will tell you that's zone. You're in a zone at that point, and he was helped by really some tremendous routes by his receivers and stuff to give him those abilities to anticipate. But really it was him really just finding his groove, and let's hope that this is kind of the hump that he needed to get over to be this kind of guy every week.
I know we played the call with you and Wes, which was great. I don't know. We know what you said, but it almost came out a different way. But you're a professor, Dave.
Hey.
You're a professional.
We were all saying the same thing.
We were all saying the same thing. So, yeah, but we weren't saying it into a mic. But, yeah, great call on that and everything like that, Dave. But I want to go back to the defense because, you know, was it more or less gap control on some of those big runs? Because that one big run that Tampa had, what was it? What was the case in your eyes, what you saw as far as was it gap control? Was somebody not playing the right technique? How did they get out of there, and how did Atlanta kind of slow that run game after that?
Yeah, I think it was kind of threefold in that what you're talking about, the ability, you know, to not necessarily fit against the gaps properly and fit the run. Give Tampa credit. I mean, they found a couple of ways to get up to the second level and get guys blocked. And then something that's kind of bothered Atlanta in the first half of the last couple of games is they haven't tackled very well in space. And I thought that Justin Simmons on the long run misses a play you have to make at safety. He misses the tackle, and it results in that long run by Rashad White. So I think that it's not just one thing. As you and I both know, we go into meetings and we sit down. It's not one thing that's going on. There's a couple things you got to kind of fix. But certainly gap integrity and trying to make sure you're a little bit more aggressive at the point of attack, not allowing yourself to be blocked. And then you got to make the tackle when you get there. So those are the kind of things I think they're going to need to do that this weekend, because you can bet that Carolina's going to try to run it between the tackles. Carolina's had success in the last couple of years against Atlanta running between tackles. I know this is a different regime. They have a different regime. But they've got a back that's starting to come into his own in Chuba Hubbard. He had 100 yards two times prior to last weekend, and he ran for 97 last weekend. So you could essentially say he's run for 100 yards in three consecutive games or thereabout for Carolina. They need him to play well. They need that for Andy Dalton or for Bryce Young, whoever plays a quarterback.
Yeah, he's averaging almost 6 yards a carry, Arch. And maybe he's the answer to this question, which was, what does Carolina do well? Like, what are the one or two specific things? Because obviously they're not particularly good, but any given Sunday, we get it. What's the one or two things that the Falcons really have to key in on against them?
Well, I think that from the defensive side of the football, might be just what we talked about is the way you're playing defensively. I know a lot of people want pass rush, and they want people to get home to the quarterback. Well, the way you're playing in the secondary, you're not really pinning the quarterback to where he's got to hold the football. If you come up and play press coverage and you're taking away those quick early throws, now he's got to hold on to the ball, and that lends itself to some pass rush. If you're going to play a little bit softer, play that cover four or quarter half or those kind of things where you're playing off, those inside throws, the slot routes, slot receivers, the stick routes, the slants are all going to be there, the flat routes to the back. And quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, and if Andy Dalton plays, I would expect Andy to do the same thing that we've seen the last three veteran quarterbacks do, is take what they give you and stay in those manageable situations. So with that, you're going to have to tackle well. I think that's number one. I think they've been a little lax in the first half of games tackling. They need to get their tackling on early on, and I think if you do that, you're going to force this Carolina team into some uncomfortable situations because they're not completely settled up front. They've got some injuries up front. And, you know, obviously there's a transition at quarterback and things like that. They've got different receivers that are trying to blend with one another together. So you could put them in a hole pretty quickly if you can take some of that stuff away, and that means tackle well from a defensive standpoint.
Hey, Dave, I think I was surprised. I think a lot of other people were there. Ruka Royal has not played until last week. Well, he got his opportunity, Dave, and he seemed like he brought his big boy britches with him. You saw some great pad level hands throwing people. Do you think that continues his role as far as getting more playing time?
Yeah, I hope so. I thought I would agree with you, Randy. I thought he played with it. My quote was he was playing with his hair on fire just simply because, you know, he hadn't gotten to play. And so I think it was a lot of pent-up frustration that he wanted to be on the field, played 50-some games at Clemson. He's not used to standing on the sideline and certainly not standing in street clothes. So he was fired up and ready to play. And I thought that his energy kind of translated to some of the other guys. When he did get on the field, I thought that you saw a marketable improvement with that second unit. I think when Onyemata and Jared are in the game, there is some stability in the interior, albeit it's not where we want it. But when that second unit came on the field, I thought there was a pretty big drop-off in the interior run defense. I thought Ororo helped out significantly with that, and I would assume that it would give him some more opportunities to play.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Falcons ahead of the Falcons and Panthers game coming up this Sunday afternoon. Just kind of reading some of the quotes from Raheem earlier today. Sounds like Troy Anderson still day-to-day. Sounds like Landman's probably going to be back. Any other injury updates or anything like that, as we'll obviously monitor that throughout the week?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I thought that I saw Drake London post-game after the game on Thursday. He looked like he was okay. Drake came out of the game a couple of times, which, as it turned out, Kadarius Hodge goes in and fills in. You talk about next man up.
Right.
I know that's something that we all talk about as players, but that next guy steps in. You can't have a drop-off. And, man, Kadarius Hodge proved that if that's the case, then you love what he did. He played quite a bit last weekend as well in games he did, or in points where he didn't get the football. When he did, he made something big happen. But so that was the only other one that stuck out to me. I thought that everybody else got back on the field. It was good to see, even though Caleb McGarry looked a little bit rusty, got beat a couple times, it was good to see him back out on the field. I'm not sure where Drew Dahlman is. Sounds like Drew Dahlman is still a ways away. I think Neusel is playing better at the center spot, albeit he's not the biggest guy in the world. Fortunately, it doesn't look like you're going to have to deal with Derek Brown this weekend. Now, Shai Tuttle is a big, heavy guy at the nose tackle position, but Derek Brown's a difference maker. He's like Vita Vea, and it doesn't look like he'll be available this week.
What about some of those skill players up there, Dave? I know you talked already about Hubbard. Obviously, they want to get him going, take some pressure off of that offense. But what about some of their skill players? We know Deontay Johnson, but what about the young man from South Carolina, Leggett?
Yeah, Leggett's a kid that he's a gigantic target, 6'3", 230 pounds. So he's a mismatch type of guy. Mingo's a big kid, too. They got two big receivers. They put Jalen Coakler in too. He's a kid from Holy Cross. He's 6'3", 215. They've got some big receivers there. Deontay Johnson's, they have to carry him into the meetings on a dinner plate because everybody else is gigantic in that wide receiver room. That'll be interesting. And Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, they're just still waiting for him to kind of burst on the scene. He had three catches last week, and he's only got eight on the year, but he was a significant target for Quinn Ewers last year at Texas, and I expect him to at some point become one of those tight ends that can step up and make plays. Tommy Tribble, I don't know if you saw the game last week against Chicago, he got knocked into tomorrow, and yes, I don't think he'll be available from a concussion standpoint, so you expect the young Sanders kid to step up. So they got some young players, Coker, Leggett, and Sanders, that they're hoping will come on, but they need to come on pretty quickly.
Hey, Arch, we're going to have Zach Robinson on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation. But what do you feel like, from your perspective, he's gotten more comfortable with, the team's gotten more comfortable with, and just sort of his play calling as it's evolved in the first five games?
Well, I think he had to get to know Andy, the players, too. I think there's a familiarity with guys, and especially with them not playing in the preseason. And I know everybody kind of goes back to that, and rightly so. I mean, you see him in practice and stuff, but the game lights are different. and how you sub guys in, who you want in the game in certain situations, trying to figure out the running back rotation, those type of things. And then his quarterback, he said himself he was not comfortable in the first few weeks of the season. It had something to do with the players around him, maybe a little bit of the revolving door with a couple of guys up front, but then just the way Zach wants to call the game. And I think those two guys had to blend. So Zach is probably a victim of to a certain extent, his own self, but the guys getting comfortable around him with the way things are going to be called. So I think it's all a growing process. I think he'll continue to get better.
All right, Dave, the Cyclones, they're in the top 10. I think they're at 7 right now. Now they got to go up to Morgantown at night. Can the Cyclones and nephew Beck, can they bring it home?
Well, if you're not fearful of couches on fire and cars on blocks and things like that, no, I'm playing. It's a situation where that's really difficult to play. That's a good place to play. That's a good crowd. It's a great home crowd. They don't have, the pro teams and all that kind of stuff. This is their pro team. Now, the injury situation at quarterback for South Carolina will be interesting. Garrett Green got knocked out of the game for a little while. He scored a touchdown early on in that game last weekend. Nico Marquial, who's a highly recruited kid, played some for them. What do they got going on at quarterback? But I like the Cyclones going in there. I think they've got a mode about them. They play really good defensively. You're going to need to run the football, and Rocco's going to have to take care of it. But they're in a pretty good position, man. They're 5-0.
5-0.
Yeah, I mean,
good spot.
Yeah. All right, okay,
absolutely. Oh,
and by the way, real quickly, I heard you say something last week that there was talking about playoffs, and you guys were projecting. Oh, you said the Cyclones don't want anything about this Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, no,
if we get the Georgia Bulldogs, that's fine. What? If we get Georgia, we'll take Georgia right now this weekend if you want to do
the
that.
The only reason I said it because Rocco's dad texted me and said that. He said, I don't know if Rocco wants nephew.
Rocco paying homage to Randy McMichael, sounds like to me. We'll take the Dogs tomorrow if they want to play.
All right,
Arch.
Appreciate
Thank
it, Arch. Have a good call, brother.
See you, boys. Take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Network analyst.